Morning, everyone. It's still morning. Funny how we're creatures of habit, isn't it? I've got used to having that lovely lectern. So we'll have this fine little glass table instead. Nice to see you all. Are you all okay? It's okay if you're not. That's fine. It's a blessing to be alive today, to have breath in our bodies, however we're feeling. It's a great blessing. It's a gift, in fact, this day from the Lord's generous hand. And as we know, having just passed through Christmas, that all gifts given are supposed to be unwrapped and opened and enjoyed, aren't they? It'd be such a shame if all the gifts were left nicely wrapped up and never opened and never enjoyed and the benefit never appreciated. So bless the Lord, and the Lord's wonderful at giving gifts, and he's been lavish in his gift giving, hasn't he? Even this morning we've had rich bounty. Mark was saying just one word can lodge and transform our lives and our thinking. And we've pondered many, many words, haven't we? We've sung hymns, we've sung choruses. We've had words spoken to us that there's a way open. And it's the Lord in his wonderful, diverse way. I love the way the Lord speaks. He speaks in a multiplicity of ways. I love unity and I love diversity. And I love that we find that in the Lord and in the way he does the things he does. He's just so wonderfully diverse, isn't he? You just take a look out there. It's not drizzling anymore. Just think of the natural world. It's so rich in diversity and yet made by the same God. Just look at you lot. So rich in diversity. We were just in America and we promised our girls snow since their first days with us, and the promise up until this Christmas was unfulfilled. Even when snow happened here, it didn't happen in West Kirby. And then we went to New Hampshire, and boy, was there a fulfillment. And we were just telling them again the wonder of the fact that though there were billions, trillions, unnumbered snowflakes, and the day after we left there was another 18 inches of snow, just for good measure, and my poor father-in-law had to get his snow shovel out again, alone. Pray for that dear man, I feel for him. It was a joy helping him while I was there. And then I heard 1.5 feet and more to come. Now, just think, I know you know this, but I just want to remind you, it's wonderful. Every snowflake, totally different. I mean, that's over the top. Is that really necessary? Well, is it noticed? I mean, that's a whole level of intricate, wonderful detail and design and phenomenal, resplendent glory, in fact, that God should just in his superabundant generosity do that with the snow. And then my father-in-law hires the ploughman. I don't think he gives it a thought. He just straight through, clear a path so they can get out to the shop. We've just heard of value. You know, you've been uniquely made and created by a loving, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise God. And he's done it with such intricate care. In fact, the Psalms say that you were fearfully and wonderfully made. You, a wonder. And you know what? We've been redeemed. Not with silver or gold or any such thing, though they all have value and you can get a nice frock. And if you're anything like me, you won't get a nice frock for your wife during the year. You'll wait for the sales. And I feel great when I've actually gone in and got something, which if I see a price tag, I'm easy. If I see a price tag that's big, I don't question it, I don't argue it, I think that's worth a lot of money. And then if I see on there, usually I like it when it's in red or something like that, and it's like clearance. And I got something at a bargain price, right? And I think, oh, I've got something of real worth at a bargain price. Now, you might think that's a strength if you're trying to save money. The Lord isn't like that. You know what? He goes in. He sees what the value is. He doesn't bargain. He goes in, full price paid. Straight in for you, for me, for this whole world. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. It says in the Bible, my friends, that you were bought not with gold, silver, these things. This is value, but with, come on if you know it, precious blood of Christ. That's your worth. The precious blood of Christ. You know what human beings crave for significance? They crave for belonging. They crave for value. They crave these things. We all do. And we look everywhere to find fulfillment. We try and find it in our work. Now, I'm not saying it's not good to have a fulfilling job. If you do, you're very blessed. And thank the Lord for it. But there's countless people who are working away and it's a drudge. And they wish they could be in something else. And it's part of this thing. It's a great need. Trying to find significance and value in what we do. And it's part of how we're made as human beings. And so we look for it in this thing and that thing. And the things can all be good and fine in their proper place. But I want to tell you again. I want to remind you. I hope you already know it. We will never find what we're looking for. It's a bit like you too, singing. I still haven't found. Sorry, that shows my age, doesn't it? I still haven't found. That was Bono singing away. Bono, how do you pronounce his name? Anyway, interesting name. And he's singing, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And he's singing, the poets actually articulate what is representative of a generation. And I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And implicit in that line alone is that we're looking, we're searching, we're seeking for value. That was great, Dave. I'm so glad you shared that. In my heart, I'm going to share a little bit. We'll see how we get on. About this thing of fulfillment. We will only find what we're looking for in Christ. I know that's a simple statement to make, but it's a big one. We will only find true meaning, value, significance, worth, all those things. And this is just kind of from our perspective. We'll only find those things. You know, here's the paradox, and the Lord said it very clearly. The one who loses his life will find it. And he was talking about this. It's a mystery, and yet he's opened up the way so clearly. We heard, didn't we? Don't hesitate. There's a way. There is a way open. Before we take the step, sometimes it seems like the cost is so great. And we're thinking, what have I got to lose? And all these kinds of things. But you know what? As you lose your life, glory to God, you find it. In Him. Bless the Lord. Let's read a scripture. We've been thinking this weekend, if you have been to the conference, you'll know this, but if you haven't, don't worry. The theme has been running the race. That's quite a good theme for the start of a new year, isn't it? Running the race. I know you're a runner. Why do you run? Lots of reasons. Sorry, that got a bit personal. I forgot everyone was here. Sorry, Sarah. I did that because Elliot asked us the other night, why do we run? He didn't ask anyone personally, he was just throwing it out there. Sorry. It's an interesting question though, isn't it? Just in the natural, if you are a runner. I like to think I am, but I think it's more in my head these days. And my imagination. Boy, I'm great in my imagination. Let me just turn. I wasn't going to go here, but let's go there. Just very quickly. Hebrews chapter 12. I think it was quoted this weekend. Right. Let's just read the first two verses of Hebrews chapter 12. It's in the New King James. You might have a little subheading. Just it's a little helpful subheading, but it's not part of the chapter itself. It says, the race of faith. So listen to these words. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and that was referred to this weekend, there's an unseen world, a cloud of witnesses. It's an amazing picture. It comes again in the scriptures, but almost like those who are walking by faith, running by faith, living by faith, being cheered on. I was so moved last night. We heard the story of a dear missionary who, from the world's perspective, had lost everything. Buried his wife and his children in Africa as he served the Lord. And then in his old age came home on the boat. And it turned out, I think, correct me if I'm wrong if you were there, it turned out Teddy Roosevelt, the president at the time of the US, was on the same boat. And apparently he was famous for hunting, killing game, elephants and whatnot. And he came on the same boat. And when they came into dock, sorry if you heard this, I'll just repeat it though. The president, Teddy Roosevelt, gets off the boat. There's a huge crowd. Great fanfare, there's a band, there's a massive welcome. The president, great welcome for this man coming home. And this poor old missionary who buried his wife and his kids and served, probably hidden away for many, many years, came off and his local church had made a mix-up apparently and they'd got the date wrong. Not their fault, easy mistake, we can all do it. No one there. No one there to greet him. And he was heartbroken. From what I could pick up, I'd never read the story. And he said to the Lord in his heart, it's not fair. This is not fair. I know he's our president, but he's killed game. He's killed these great animals. And he's getting a big cheer. And the Lord spoke to him in his heart. And said, yeah, Teddy's come home. But my son, you haven't come home yet. Just you wait. Just you wait. Keep on going. Okay? Dear Barbara, she's had a big welcome. If you know her, you know who I'm talking about. She's had a big welcome. Glory to God. Glory to God. The joy. Welcome home, dear Barbara. Well done, love. Rejoice. And I'm sure he whispered to her, it's all right. I'm with Derek. I said I would be all the way to the end. And your kids. And everything concerns you. Welcome home. Welcome home. Isn't that wonderful? So there's a cloud of witnesses. There's a race of faith. Okay? It might not go how we're expecting. You might not be in the job that you kind of wished for, okay? Things might go horribly wrong at times. You might get your heart broken, but keep on running, my friends. Where'd you get your vigour from? Christ. The undaunted. It's not in your ability to run. it's in His. Listen to this, Jesus. He's so wonderful. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. What should we do in the light of this? Lay aside every weight. There are a lot of weights, aren't there, that we pick up and carry, things that happen. Well, the Lord's saying, just lay them aside. He's not discounting them. Burdens, sorrows, He's not. He's saying, where He's going here, the writer, He's saying, in the light, lay them aside. Okay? Run freely. Also, lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And this is it, looking unto Jesus. Eyes on the prize. I've got a friend at work who's a marathon runner. He does not stop talking about running, honestly. All right, Dave. And I'm like, I know what's coming. He's got Boston in his sights now. He's just done New York. He's done London twice. He's now thinking of going. He's on it. He's got a passion. He's totally focused. He hasn't quite yet got the sub-3 that he's after. He came so close. I'm rooting for him. I'm like, Lyndon, you can do it, mate. You can do it. You keep going. Came back the last time. Did you get it, Lyndon? Oh, Dave, 3-3. 3-3, that close. Now, in the natural, his motivation is he wants to get this sub-3, and he's focused. He's got to focus a goal, and he's going for it. Here's our focus. Here's our goal. Looking to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Looking to Jesus, the author. And this is the phrase I want to just draw our attention to. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. How wonderful. He's the beginning and the end. You know that word finisher? In some versions it'll say perfecter. Do you have that? We sang about accomplished. Completed. This is such a rich word. In fact, in this form it only occurs once in the New Testament. But it says here that Jesus, as well as being the author, He's the perfecter, He's the finisher, He's the completer of faith. Jesus, I wrote down here, the one bringing the life of faith to its complete conclusion, its consummation, its finish, its end. Job done. Now, there's to be some pretty wonderful application of this thought of Jesus as the one who perfected the walk of faith, the life of faith. He finished it. He completed it. Job done. I think I've confessed before here that I have a slight tendency. We were chatting about knowing our weaknesses the other day. It's important. I'm just letting it out here, okay? I've already let Chan know. I have a slight tendency, on occasion, to not finish a job. Now, just add this caveat, in time, okay? I read somewhere the other day, and it was a great encouragement to me. If a man says that he's going to do the job, he's going to do the job, okay? You don't have to keep reminding him every 6 months. You know my great friend Paul Davis, he let me in on a secret. I don't know if I've shared this with you, but CPA. Anyone know what that is? Yeah, Roger does. Yeah, wise fella. Very important to have this in your armoury when the job's gone on over 18 months. My record, by the way, was a shelf. 8 years. Painful. In my defence, if you see the shelf, it's more like a giant beam of oak. Because if you say shelf, you can think an IKEA kind of, you know, MDF. I could get that up in no time. Seriously, give me a week and I'd have that done. This one, 8 years. It's up. Finished. Complete. It's being used for what it is intended. And that's another aspect of this wonderful word. Now, I know we've finished Colossians. Sorry? Oh, sorry, CPA. I moved on, didn't I? What is that, Roger? Critical path analysis. Now, this explains why us fellas in particular, it may happen to the ladies, I'm not sure. I don't want to put words into your mouths. This is how it looks. Plumbers do a lot of it. This is all very important. It might look like we're just eyes off the prize, but actually it's critical path analysis. Michelangelo did the same. He looked at that block of marble for a long time. And then eventually... Take your time. Look, everything doesn't need to be a rush. Okay, we need to move on. Thanks, Roger. CPA. So, you'll notice that I like spending time these days because, as I said, Colossians, we finished, haven't we, after 2 years? Let's turn to Colossians. We were in Hebrews, but I'm just going to refer briefly to some things in Colossians. Now, in the last chapter, chapter 4, do you remember our friend Epaphras? And we talked as we were finishing last time. The way this man prayed for the Colossian people. Thank God for his people who pray. Who pray for you. Thank the Lord for them. And he prayed for the people. And we noticed that he prayed consistently. He prayed definitely and specifically. He prayed passionately. And intensely. It says that he prayed always. It prayed for you. This was Paul saying. Epaphras prays for you. It says he labours fervently, striving. So this was, we looked at the way he prayed for them. And I just want to link this thought of Jesus as the perfecter. Are you still with me in Hebrews? He's the perfecter. He's the finisher. We want to look now, just very briefly, linking with that, the why. Not so much the way, but the why Epaphras prayed, as is recorded in chapter 4 of Colossians, for those Colossians. This was the motive of his prayer. Okay? And listen, as we read, it's in, you can, if you are there, you don't have to necessarily, but in verse 12 of chapter 4 it says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always labouring fervently for you in prayers. And this is the phrase, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now those two words are really interesting, and one of them links with the word that we just looked at in Hebrews chapter 12, that Jesus is the finisher, the perfecter. And Epaphras is praying for these believers. He's praying that they should stand perfect. What does that mean? Is he praying too high? Is his ask too big? Actually, no. No, it's not. Epaphras was not just concerned about these believers, that they should somehow be preserved from the error and thinking wrongly and these kind of things. He wasn't just praying about their preservation, although he was greatly concerned about that. Positively, he was praying that they should develop in their Christian character through to maturity, and that this would enable them to stand firm. That's what he was praying for. He's praying, oh Lord, establish your people. Oh Lord, strengthen your people. Oh Lord, root them and ground them so that they're not blown around by every wind of doctrine. Oh Lord, root them and ground them in your love. Oh Lord, make them strong. Oh Lord, make them stand. And then he comes out with this big one, and it's teleos. This is the word, Greek word, don't worry too much about that. But it essentially is this word that means perfect, complete. And there's also this other rich idea behind it, that it's something that is functioning in the way that it was designed and intended to function. Isn't that wonderful? So, just jump back to my shelf, the big beam. I bought, I know it's in a way a silly illustration, but actually it's really spoken to me. I've told Chan this, nothing was wasted. I've learned some life lessons. Big chunk of oak, beautiful. Someone had taken it, obviously, from a tree, and then they'd got it there. You see the grain, it needed some oil. My friend Steve Gray told me the type of oil I needed to rub in, bring out the grain. I spent some time, as well as the CPA, a little bit of oiling. But sadly, and this is my weakness, this big, wonderful piece of wood lived for some years under my bed. At one point, I got all motivated, and it's pretty heavy. I took it out from under the bed and went, wow, that's a beautiful piece of wood. Love, I'm going to have to get this up on the wall soon. But it needed some big corbels and some fairly substantial hardware to get into the brick in the wall, because it was really, really heavy. And after doing a bit more, it ended up in a cupboard. Another few years. And this, it moved around. I was finding new homes for this beautiful piece of wood. And the sad thing was, the loss was that it wasn't perfect. It wasn't complete. It wasn't teleos. Now, it's there. Up on the wall with the corbels. It's oiled. It's holding some of Chan's cookery books. It's got, you know, those, I don't even know the name for them, but they're kind of kitchen related things. Big spoons and, do you know the stuff? That's it. Kitchen utensils, thanks, Dan. I've got a lot to learn. And there they are, I've put hooks in, they're hanging down. It's a thing of beauty, and it's functional. It's functioning in the way that that was intended. Do you see what I'm saying? That, there's something there of this idea of perfect, complete. Is Joe here? I never forget when I asked you if I could borrow a mitre saw. Do you remember that? Now, I had a little bit of beading at the time. I hadn't let Joe know this, but I had a little bit of beading. And I was wanting to just, it was some flooring, and I was just wanting to do a mitre cut to get it nice and neat in the corner. And the beading was about so big. It was just to finish off the edge, right? Okay, Joe said, no problem. I didn't tell her all those details. I just said, a mitre saw. Came round. She produced, I'm not joking, it was like, it had teeth like that. It was a wheel, like, I mean, it was plugging in. She was operating on a grand scale. I mean, you could have done some serious damage. Now, that's a great machine, Joe. But to function for what that was intended, you'd need a little bit more than my bead. What I needed was a really fine blade on one of those mitre blocks. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Now, again, link this idea. Sorry, I think I might be losing you. This all has a point and a purpose and an end, in fact. Epaphras prayed for the believers that they would be perfect. And part of what is built into that prayer, that wonderful word, is that they would grow to maturity, but also that they would function for the purpose that they were designed. Now, we talked about the snowflakes. We talked about how different you all are. Do you know you've got a unique purpose to be fulfilled in Christ? Did you know that the wonderful kaleidoscopic mystery of his love, the rainbow spectrum colour of his love, is to shine not just through one of us, but wonderfully and uniquely through each and every one set together. Oh, bless the Lord, and it's to speak. To speak to this world and to the unseen world the magnificence of his love and grace. Oh, praise God. Just quickly, turn with me to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12, and we'll just read verse 4, 5 and 6. Let me just read these verses in the light of what we've just thought about. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. There you've got the Trinity. Right there, three. The same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. And linked in, even in the Godhead, there's this wonderful diversity. And yet, such unity. I don't even know how to put language to some of these things. They're so wonderful. And in the light of that, there are diversities of gifts. Diversities, differences of ministries, diversities of activities. And you know what? Sometimes, and our world is so into cloning. And you get a celebrity and then everyone's trying to be like the celebrity. And you get a fashion brand and everyone's got to do this. And fearfully and wonderfully made. Each one of you. Glory to God. Eyes on Christ, the author and the perfecter of faith. Can I say, of your race of faith, of ours, of faith, the author and the finisher, the completer. How wonderful. How wonderful. It's the Lord's creative genius, isn't it? We're not talking black and white, we're talking colour. Beyond. And sound so perfect. We had quoted from Hebrews 6 the other night that we've tasted of the powers of the age to come. No wonder we have deep desire. I think I quoted C.S. Lewis the other night. He said, if you've got desire that cannot be satisfied by anything in this world, then in all likelihood, you've been created for another world. Listen, it's bigger and better than we ever dreamed. And that dear missionary, I love to think of the welcome he got. The colour, the sound, the joy, the love, the bliss. We sang, oh, with what a rest of bliss Christ can fill the loving heart. Anything we taste now is it's beyond our wildest dreams. What's coming? There's a glory that's coming, Paul says, that far outweighs the suffering and the sorrow and the loss of this world. There's a glory coming, my friends. Eyes on the prize. It's the only way to be able to interpret life here and now. I know in the West sometimes we can have it all nicely sewn up and we've got everything we need, in quotes. Actually, we're utterly bankrupt. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Let's just look, just a few verses. I'm going to stay in Colossians, is that okay? I know strictly speaking we've finished. But I can't help myself. So Epaphras prayed. He says that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now that word perfect is the word we've been thinking about. Okay? And it's a wonderful word. But he didn't just pray that you'd stand perfect. He prayed that you would be complete. Now that's a different word, and it's to do with fullness. What a wonderful prayer. What a wonderful prayer. He wanted these believers to be mature and strong in their faith and rooted and grounded and functioning in the way that they were designed to function. We have shadows of this in our broken world. We do. And there is a degree of fulfillment to be found when you are in a vocation or an occupation that satisfies your makeup, if you like. Can I put it like that? There's definitely degrees of fulfillment to be found. You see, there's aspects almost of a kind of glory. We heard about it last night. You see people at the top of their game in the Olympics. There's something magnificent. Mum and Dad were at the Messiah last night. There's something magnificent, isn't there? Now, I don't know for sure, but I'm hazarding a guess that not all those people in the orchestra and the soloists were Christians. But you know what? There's something. Echoes of something glorious. C.S. Lewis, again, I've been reading a little bit of his recently. He says, our problem isn't that we've got too strong desires. It's our problem is that we don't have strong enough desire. He said we settle for the toys and playthings of this world. When actually, what we're supposed to desire is the utter bliss of union with God. And the joy unspeakable of knowing Him. And we settle. We scrabble around. He said it's like making mud pies in the sand when you could be having an absolutely beautiful holiday by the seaside. Oh, glory to God. Someone prayed last night, a young man. Lord, I desire something greater. Someone prayed today. Lord, we want to live in the, as much as it's possible, I think someone said, in the good of what you've made available. Do you have that in you? Pressing on. Glory to God. So this second word, when he says complete in this verse 12 of chapter 4, it's a word that links in. If you just drop your eye down to 17, Paul says this, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Now I like to think, you could read this a number of ways, but I like to think this is Paul with compassion in his heart for this dear man, perhaps knowing he was a bit discouraged. I don't think he was beating him with a stick. I don't. You might have a different view on that. I think he knew that this dear man needed encouragement. He was going for it. But he needed encouragement to know that in the Lord he was able to fulfill that which the Lord had given him to fulfill. Archippus. Oh, my dear friend Archippus. You've been given something. Now, ministry, again, we said this earlier. It's funny how language works, isn't it? We say ministry. If I say, I'm fulfilling my ministry. You think, what? Who does he think he is? I'm in the ministry. It's not that at all. It's service. It's servanthood. Fulfill your servanthood. Fulfill your service. It's down here, my friends. And you know what? When you're released from the burden of trying to be something and trying to be someone, trying to maintain something in the public realm, what a liberty. What a freedom to know we're called. We sang it to kiss His feet and just wonder at His amazing mercy.
He's loved us with everlasting love. He's washed all our sins away. He's forgiven us. We were hearing last night about how he remembers everything. You know, we have to couple that with the fact that he says clearly, I've forgotten. That's not because he's lost his powers of memory. Of course, it's because he chooses to forget. And what does he choose to forget? What does he choose to forget? Come on, tell me. Our sins. Just think about that for a moment. Almighty God, with the most impeccable memory, forgets your sins. That's just wonderful. Isn't it? As far as the east is from the west. And we've heard that many times, but we can just remind ourselves, how far is that? That's pretty far. I've heard people say about, you know, north to south, you can kind of measure that pole to pole, but east to west, whoa, you just keep on going, there's no pole. As far as the east, I'm sure that was deliberate. As far as the east is from the west, I will remember them no more. I will. The will of God is in this. It's deliberate. It's not by accident. He's not forgetful. He says, I will remember them no more. Glory to God. This should put a lightness in your spirit and a jump in your step, even if you physically can't walk. Glory to his name. One day we're all going to be dancing with just blissful joy. Listen, friends, I know some of us are deeply heartbroken, but there's joy coming that's so untainted, so pure, seraphic joy. Fulfill your ministry. Can I say that? Archippus, each one, me, Mark, all of us. You have a service, my friends. You have a service, and it's been gifted you from the Lord. Gifted you. Now, don't go off on a big quest. Oh, what's my ministry? Oh, I don't know what my ministry is. I tell you what it is. It's to love him with all your heart. To love him in just pure wonder and amazement. And to love your neighbour as yourself. And he'll work out the particulars, the unique, wonderful, oh, the delight thing. I love that picture, Chris. Glory to his name. Fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your ministry. And this is interesting, isn't it? How we're doing okay. I'm going to finish in just a few moments. It's okay if I refer to Colossians every so often, isn't it? I struggle a bit with endings, it turns out. And finishing jobs. Listen to this in chapter 1. Paul says he's become a minister. Same. He talks about fulfilling the word of God in 25. Same. Archippus, fulfill your ministry. There's wonderful fulfillment in Christ alone. It might not look like what we're looking for. But you know what? There's a secret. We heard of Wormbrandt in prison. Now, from a world's point of view, he was a wonderful teacher. He was a deep spiritual man. You'd be thinking, oh, that's all wrong. He should be fulfilling his ministry. You know, being able to speak to hundreds of people and commute. He was locked up. You know what? The glory of God was so powerful, we heard, that he didn't want to be set free from his prison cell. And it was awful. He was experiencing such joy and union with Christ. Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes we're looking a little bit low. Jesus, thou joy. What's that one, Lee? Favourite of yours. Isn't it? I love it too, brother. Jesus. That's it. That's it. That's enough. Jesus. You're the joy of loving hearts. Ah, oh, with what a rest of bliss Christ can fill the loving heart. You want a ministry? You want a service? Do you want a fulfilling pursuit? In your prayers, love. In your living, love. In your factory, love. In your home, love. Dear brother Brian has just been on it, hasn't he? Week after week after week. Love. 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 Fulfill your ministry. I'm not saying there won't be diversity. We've just identified that early on, haven't we? Of course there will. As the snowflakes, as the sand grains, as your eyeballs. Thump, you can go on and on. There's so many illustrations. It's so rich. Fulfill your ministry. And he goes on to say, Paul, at the end of chapter 1, he says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. And then he says that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Just one more verse. Perfect. That links in with the perfect that Epaphras prayed for in Colossians 2, verse 10. It says, and you are complete. That's talking about fullness. It's this word plero. In him who is the head of all principalities, head of all principality and power. And then we saw that Epaphras prayed for both. That we should be perfect. And we should be complete. Oh, bless the Lord. What a prayer. What a prayer. Do we pray like that for each other? If you pray for me, pray that for me, would you? Pray that for me. I want to function in the way that God has called me to function. In my workplace, in my home, with you, dear people of God, in the street, in my car, wherever it is, don't you? Don't you want to be teleos? In this sense? Now, some of you might be a big threshing instrument, or a big old beastie machine like Joe gave me those years ago, with huge teeth, and there's a function for that. Forging the way ahead with vision, right? That I'm just thinking of possible applications. And others might be a fine miter saw type. Yeah? Some might be a handheld screwdriver. Have you ever tried to do one of those flathead ones with a Phillips? I have. In fact, have you ever tried to do a Phillips and it's the wrong size and the screw head needs a smaller one? Have you ever tried that? And I'll go in, really, you know, DIY Dave. Destroy it yourself. It's all right, I'm coming. Shelf falls down. Chan says, you've only got your shelf to blame. So I'm going in. Oh, that's all. That's awful. Sorry. So I'm in there with the big Phillips. And what does it do to that screw? Threads it. Nice technical Alan over there. Some of you just ruins it, wrecks it. That's true. And then you can't use it. Do you see what I'm saying? This is some of the idea behind this. How wonderful. How wonderful. How wonderful. Fulfill your ministry. And the only way to fulfill it is to be filled full. That's not a joke. That's absolutely serious. That's true.
The only way to fulfill your ministry, the only way to run this race, is to be filled full. Glory to God. And listen, as we read in Corinthians, this isn't one size fits all. In one sense it is. It's for all. That all should be filled. But it's uniquely for you. The filling of the Holy Spirit expressed through you will be a unique expression to the glory of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So some may be released into a great gift of prophetic utterance. Others may be released into a great gift of helps, administrations. Glory to His name. Stop trying to fit us all into the same box. You're all uniquely different. Wonderful. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. And we're all on a journey. We're all running, aren't we? I said to dear Dave, I'm running with you, Dave. I feel like he's... Just spot Dave's head there in the distance. You know what? I'm looking above your head to our head. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's good to have people you can glance at, but we can glance at fellow saints, absolutely, and Christ is in them. We're to gaze at Christ. Glance at the saints. Gaze at Christ. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will we keep running together? Will we? When someone falls out like your man in Chariots of Fire, Eric Little. He just got up, didn't he? I'm sure the Lord was with him. But sometimes we need to be alongside our brothers and sisters as they trip and fall. And if I trip, you just love a strong arm. If you're weary, you feel like you can't run another step, the only place for spiritual vigour is Christ. Hallelujah. Let's pray, shall we? Sorry, that was a little bit all over the place. I know you're probably thinking, nothing unusual there. I'm trying really hard to get a bit, ordered. Should we pray? I just love Him with all my heart. I've been so touched this weekend. He's touched my heart. I said to Dave last night, it's like the Lord just came in on the quiet. Last night at the conference, I almost didn't see him coming. He kind of reached out from behind me and reached round. Boom! He got me. Lord, we love you with all our hearts. Sometimes, Lord, we feel our love for you is so small and frail. Lord, we feel like we could easily fall. But we look up, Lord, and we see you. Lord, and we are reminded again this morning that you're the author, the beginning. Oh Lord, the initiator, not just the source of all things, but the great pioneer, Lord, of our faith. Bless your name. You overarch everything, Lord, and you're the perfecter. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you that for everyone who trusts in you, you're faithful to complete what you've started. Oh, praise you. We bless your name. We give you all the glory. You're our hero. You're our master. You're our king. Our saviour. Our healer. Our all in all. Oh, Lord, thank you that you're able to narrow things right down to you yourself. And as we go through you, Lord, as we enter in through you, the only way, we're ushered into a great vista of glory. Great undiscovered land. Oh, praise you. Praise you, Lord. Put the spirit of adventure in our hearts afresh this year, we pray. To discover you. To discover the wonders of your love. Your great redeeming grace. Your great mission heart. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we pour out our hearts before you. Thanking you for who you are. And thanking you for each and every one of us gathered here. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Encourage every heart, Lord. Strengthen every heart. Speak hope and life. Forgiveness. Oh, praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you for this morning, Lord. And we just pray together that you'd really bless the youth prayer meeting and all the work amongst our young people this year. We pray for each and every one of them.
Take them all on, Lord. Establish them. Strengthen them. Root them and ground them in the knowledge of you. And we pray too for tonight. We pray for our brother Elliot that you would help him, Lord, to convey, to speak your heart. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. And we thank you too for our food that we share, Lord. We're so grateful. Amen.